From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Byam Theater in the heart of Pittsburgh's cultural district, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Man, it's good to be here. Thank you so much, Pittsburgh. Great to be with you. We are so excited today to have as our special guest Pennsylvania's Governor, Democrat Ed Rendell. We are eager to talk to him about the life of a modern governor of a large, complex northeastern state. The pressures, the tension, how people like him manage to relax. Exactly how would a governor get away from his security detail in an antique but upscale hotel? But all that's coming up. First, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Sarah from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Hey, how are things in New Orleans these days, Sarah?
Good. They're getting better.
They're getting better, are they really?
Yeah, except for the occasional large hole in the streets that appear because they have utility workers digging up everywhere.
But you people have music and laughter and food. You can get around holes.
Or we just drive through them because, you know, what's a car? It's going to flood anyway.
Exactly. What an attitude. Well, welcome to our show, Sarah. Let me introduce you to our panel today. First, say hello to a humorist and author and the man to blame for everything you will find at Baudette.com, Mr. Tom Baudette.
Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Tom.
Next, say hello to the woman I like to call a reliable sorceress, Ms. Roxanne Roberts of The Washington Post.
Hey, Roxanne.
Hi, Sarah.
Finally, it's a TV personality, the proprietor of the website Morocco180.com, and as we have learned, the man who will be the entertainment at next month's Congressional Radio and TV Correspondents' Dinner, Mr. Morocco.
Hello. Hi, Sarah.
Sarah, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, we're going to start this week with a round of Carl Castle's Countdown. That's where Carl presses shuffle on his iPod and through some alchemical magic. All three songs that come up seem to be inspired by stories in the week's news. Your job, guess those stories 2 times out of 3. You'll win our prize. Ready to play?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Carl, what's first in the playlist?
Well, Peter, for some reason this week, I just could not get this tune out of my head.
The minute you walked in, see you were a man of distinction, a real spender.
So, who, as it turns out, was a really big spender, ended up paying an even higher price than just $4,000 an hour.
Why, could that be Elliot Spitzer?
Let me check. Yes, it is. Whoa. Governor Spitzer was a rising star in Democratic politics, a moralizing crusader.
A rising star?
A rising star. You see, that's the problem with Governor Spitzer. You talk about him, everything seems dirty. He was a moralizing crusader against lawbreakers. He was destined for national fame. And then he made a key mistake. He was born a man. So much has been said, but one of the enduring questions remaining, why did Spitzer pay so much for his evening's entertainment, more than $4,000? Well, public service, we got our hands on Mr. Spitzer's itemized receipt. I have it here. It's $1,000 for standard services, $500 for her to say to him, quote, "Oh, Governor, you're so much better than George Pataki." Another $500 for her not to laugh when he said, "And now I'd like you to say hello to the Lieutenant Governor." And
I thought this was NPR.
And the last $1,000 was just as per usual to say as she was leaving, "Just so you know, I charge everybody else $10,000.
Typical overspending liberal.
Yeah, I know.
I think it says, you know, less about his morality than it does his negotiating skills.
This is one of those stories in which it was actually challenging for people like us to come up with made-up stuff that's better than the real stuff. For example, A lot of people were replaying this. One of Spitzer's campaign slogans from his 2006 gubernatorial campaign, quote, "He'll bring passion back to Albany."
Peter, yes. His, within hours of the news breaking, his senior yearbook from Horace Mann School in the Bronx, graduating class of 1977, went up on Craigslist. And there's a picture of the soon-to-be, then, you know, young aspiring politician in jeans and a plaid shirt.
Yeah.
And there was a passage from Hamlet, and then his senior quote was, "The problem with bad political jokes is that some of them get elected."
But this is actually a good political joke.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. What else were people singing this week, Carl?
Now, Peter, here's a song that was sung by two people who are still out there trading punches.
"Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you."
"Oh, you can."
"Yes, I can."
"Oh, you can."
"Yes, I can."
"Oh, you can."
"Yes, I can. Yes, I can."
So what two people are still out there after what seems like 40 years in the desert trading barbs over who would be better for their party and country?
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Exactly right, yes. It goes on. Obama won Mississippi, but still the math shows that neither of them can win this outright, so they're both trying to convince the superdelegates to go to their side at the inevitable convention. Clinton argues that she should be the nominee because her history and experience, her judgment, skill, and ethics are so well known. Obama argues, on the other hand, that he should be the nominee because Clinton's history, experience, judgment, and ethics are so well known. Other campaign stories this week. Geraldine Ferraro, after, you know, had to leave the Clinton campaign after a big kerfuffle in which she continually insisted that the only reason Barack Obama was doing so well was that he was black. Everybody knows that's a huge advantage in seeking national office in this country. And total legitimate charge. And, of course, it came from a person who was put on a national ticket back in 1984, not because of her gender, no, but simply because she would really help Walter Mondale lock down the vote of loudmouthed fools from Queens. Carl, give us something cheerful to finish us up with, won't you?
Okay, Peter. How about some drinking advice from the greatest harmonizers of the 1960s, the Beach Boys?
"Don't go near the water. Don't you think it's sad? What's happened to the water? Our water's going bad."
Now, what did we find out this past week that was in our water supply that may make you decide not to go near your water?
Prescription drugs.
Exactly right. Very good. Pharmaceuticals in the water. It turns out that the drugs we Americans take, the aspirins, the birth control pills, the Prozac, the teeming fistfuls of Viagra, well, they all pass through our bodies into the water supply, right by the sewage treatment plants and back to the taps. A study found traces of pharmaceutical drugs in the water supply of 40 million Americans, which explains why none of us are having babies or getting depressed, and why Bob Dole is so often seen guzzling water out of a garden hose. Experts say we could scrub the water for these drugs, get rid of them, but that means we'd have to go back to paying for them, which in turn would mean that Elliot Spitzer won't have enough money left to go out this weekend.
Could it be that Spitzer was drinking Cialis water?
It could be. That would be a novel defense, and I look forward to him trying it. Carl, how did Sarah do in our quiz?
Sarah was perfect. Peter, 3 correct answers. Sarah, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done, Sarah.